to be exact. We're going to be talking about the vows of membership in the United Methodist Church and what they mean. Because so often we take our vows and we really don't think about what we're saying. Maybe it'd be a good idea if we did, so we know just what it is we're vowing to be or do. And so we're going to start this morning. And by the way, the vows of membership of the United Methodist Church, if you don't know what they are, to serve God with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. That's the vows that we make. So you'll be wanting to think about those for the next several weeks. But first, I thought we need to talk about why membership is important. Why does it matter? Why do we need to be a member of Christ Church? Well, as the new pastor at Trinity Church, Reverend Smith decided to visit each one of his new charges in the church, his new members, and welcome them all, invite them all to church the next Sunday. Must have been a small church that he got to all of them in 1 week. But he invited them all to church, and he got to church that Sunday morning all raring to go, and it was him and two ushers. That was it. So he thought, okay, we got to do something about this, and so Pastor Smith put an ad in the newspaper and put it on the radio that the church had died, Trinity Church had died, and there was going to be a funeral the next Sunday afternoon, and everyone should come. Well, all the members and many other people came because they were curious, what is a church funeral? What does it look like? So they came, and there was a coffin right in the middle, in the front of the church, all closed. So then Pastor Smith gave his eulogy. And after the eulogy, he went down and he opened up the coffin and he invited everyone to come forward and to take one last look at their church. And they did. They lined up. And you could see their faces as they came by. And then they walked away looking ashamed. Do you know what was in that coffin? A mirror. Tilted so they could see themselves in it. Oh, how clever is that? I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. That's the way it is. What is it about the church or any organization, for that matter, that creates a need in people to want to be a part of it, to want to join? What is it that makes that something that's important to people? Well, I got to thinking about that. When I was in my 30s, I was invited by a coworker to attend a women's group. And I was curious. I wasn't sure what it was all about, so I went. It didn't take me long to determine that this was not a group that I was interested in becoming a part of. I didn't believe in their bylaws, what they believed in. There were several things. The dues were steep. I mean, as a young 30-year-old, you know that you got to pay attention to what the cost is. And the dues were steep, and I didn't know what they were for. Didn't make sense to me. Two, the organization bylaws were exclusive. They did not include single women, single mothers. Only married working women. Three, the group was politically motivated. Politically motivated. I was not. That didn't work for me either. Finally, and this is probably the clincher, they seemed uppity to me. You know how that is? You feel like people are looking down their nose at you? It just didn't work for me. Now, I want you to compare that to the invitation to membership with another organization years earlier. Lon and I were engaged to be married. We didn't know where we were going to have our wedding ceremony. My parents invited us to their church, which happened to be a Methodist church, and so we went to their church with them the next Sunday. Well, we liked what we heard, what we saw. The people were friendly. The pastor had an engaging message, a challenging message, and when the offering plate came by, there were no dues. You put in if you wanted to. So we continued to come. We were married there, and then after a time, we went to the pastor and said, we'd like to become members of this church. This is a good church. And the pastor talked to us about that, and then he signed us up for membership classes, where we could learn about what the church believed in, what the church did, the history of the church, what it meant to be a member of the church, what it meant to be a Christian, and we became members. I've tried for years to understand why people are more willing to join so many other organizations. Organizations like Rotary, Lions, FFA, 4-H, whatever it is. But they're so unwilling, some are, to become a member of a church. And I'm not just talking this church. I'm talking any church. Every church has a certain percentage of people who may never join it, and I've never understood that, why that would be the case. I've come to the conclusion that some don't think it's necessary to become a member, that membership doesn't matter. As long as you attend, at least occasionally, as long as you believe, well, something. But is that true? The reason we become members of any organization, I believe, is because we believe in what that organization stands for, and we believe in what that organization is doing in its community and in the world. That's why we become a member. You ask anyone here who's a member of Rotary or Lions, they'll tell you why. Not because it's a fun night out away from the spouse. There's more to it than that. Did you know that there's a biblical basis for church membership? Do you remember when Jesus said to Peter, it was in the book of Matthew, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Jesus intended a church to be built from day one. And there are people who say, you know, I can get to know God and I can believe in God without being a member of a church. But maybe you need to read a little more to find out that Jesus intended us to be a member, to participate, to learn and to grow. Peter took Jesus' prophecy seriously. In Acts 2, we learn, then those people who accepted what Peter said were baptized. Baptism, just like this morning. About 3,000 people were added to the number of believers that day. They spent their time learning the apostles' teaching, sharing, breaking bread, and praying together. I thought about that, thought, you know, 3,000 people, that's the first megachurch. Wow. I wonder if they wrote any books, did any videos. The first megachurch. The New Testament assumes that Christians connect to a local church. That's what they assume. They connect to a local church where they live out their commitment to Jesus Christ. I mean, every one of Paul's New Testament letters was written to a church, talking about the people in the church and what they were doing and what they believed and what they needed to believe. The New Testament proves the existence of church government. Can you believe that? Those of you who think, oh my gosh, so many committees. We really have to have this many committees to keep a church going? New Testament. Acts 20 and 1 Timothy 5 line out the duties of a pastor. 1 Timothy 33 lines out the duties of pastor and deacons. Deacons would be leaders in the church, all of you who are chairs of committees and whatnot. And in Matthew 18, Jesus himself gives the proper method for handling a member who treats another member badly. Jesus assumes there will be a church, and that people will be a part of that church and want to be a part of that church. Beyond the biblical proof for church membership, there are also practical reasons for church membership. I think there are, at least. Number one, connectivity. Being a part of a local church offers us the relationship of the body of Christ. We're not alone in this. Together, we can accomplish so much more in Christ's name than we can accomplish all by ourselves. Together, we can do so much more, and I think that's intentional. Number two, responsibility. Through the church, we discover our spiritual gifts, and we are offered ways to use those gifts effectively for our good, for the good of the church, for the good of others. Responsibility. Three, accountability. When you become a part of the life of the church also becomes a part of your life. Many people here shake their heads and say, yeah, we know that. The church is there for you when you're struggling. The church is there for you, the body of Christ, when you're ill. When you're trying to grow your faith and don't know what to do or how to do that, the church is there for you. There's an accountability in relationship as we speak the truth in love to each other. That's what it's about. So can you be a Christian without joining other believers in a church? Well, yeah, I think you can. It's kind of like being a football player who's not a part of a team. Or it's maybe like being a soldier with no army. Would you want to try to win the game by yourself? Would you want to try to win the battle or the war by yourself? No, it's a team effort. Christianity is a team effort. Several years ago, Rick Warren wrote The Purpose-Driven Life. I know that was a study in this church many years ago. In it, he outlined from Scripture how we were planned for God's good pleasure, that's worship. How we were formed for God's family, that's fellowship. How we were shaped, for serving God. Oh, I missed one, didn't I? I'm sorry, I missed it. There, I thought, what's going on here? I'll follow you. How's that? We were created to become like Christ, that's discipleship. We were shaped for serving God, that's ministry. And we were made for mission, that's evangelism. There it is. In Acts 2, Luke describes the life of the early church. They devoted themselves to apostles' teaching, which is discipleship, and to the fellowship, which is fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. That's worship. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They gave to anyone as he had a need. That's ministry. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That's evangelism. It's all in there. The purpose-filled Christian life can be lived only through committing to be a part of a local congregation and working to make that commitment purposeful, to make it meaningful, to make it make a difference. When you join a church, you are not joining an organization. You are committing to work together with other Christians, to be the church together. That's what you're doing when you join the church. There's a story about a believer who was completely deaf, and yet he came to church every Sunday, and he participated in all the activities of the church. Couldn't hear a thing. One day he was asked why he bothered going to church, given his inability to know what's going on. His reply, I want everyone to know what side I'm on. Did you ever think of that? I want everyone to know what side I'm on. Christians are like snowflakes. We're fragile. But when we stick together, we can stop traffic. That's a snowflake. Isn't that the truth? Today, we certainly can attest to that one. So, do you want your life to count? Do you want a life filled with purpose and significance? Do you want to be in the heart of what God is doing in the world today? To be a part of that? Then get involved in the life of a church. Make the commitment to become a member of a church. And along with other believers, you will make a difference in this world. But that's not the end of it. God will make a difference in your life, in you. That's why we do what we do. Will you pray with me? Lord God, you did make us for a purpose, not just to take up space on this planet, but to be here, to love each other, to help each other, and to share with each other what it means to believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he means in our lives. Lord, I pray, if we have not committed yet to be a part of the body of Christ through the church, oh Lord, move in us. Move in us, encourage us, and show us why it's necessary for our good and for yours. Amen.